Weeks passed without incident. Then, one Friday, Damien didn't come home. Alfred waited in front of the Gotham Academy, as he usually did at the end of the school day, but Damien failed to appear. He checked his pocket watch again. Madame Roland, French teacher and headmistress of the school, was seeing children off when she noticed Alfred waiting. "Mr. Pennyworth," she greeted. "Has Damien not come out yet?"
"Not yet," Alfred said. It wasn't like Damien to be late. He was headstrong, sometimes arrogant, and often tactless. But he'd learned a level of courtesy since he'd come to stay with them at Wayne Manor. He was rarely discourteous.
"I'll have them call him with the intercom," Madame Roland offered. "We'll see if we can't find him for you." But 15 minutes later, Alfred was still waiting, and Madame Roland was beginning to look alarmed.
"I'm sure it's nothing," Alfred said. "You know how forgetful young men can be. It's very possible one of his brothers came to pick him up. It's Friday, after all. Excuse me, I'll just check with them."
"I'll check the security cameras," Madame Roland offered. "Perhaps we can see who picked him up."
Alfred turned away and dialed his phone. "Master Timothy, I need you to hack something."
"There's a 5-minute window where there's nothing but static," Tim explained to the others as they gathered at the Batcave. "Whoever picked him up didn't want to be seen."
"But this is Damien," Jason said. "Baby Bird's not going to go without a fight."
"Unless they threaten to hurt the other children," Alfred suggested. "Master Damien would not willingly expose civilians to such a risk."
Dick frowned. "Still," he said, "there are a lot of things Damien could do to get out of a situation like that without collateral damage. I think we need to consider that it might have been someone he knew."
"Or straight-up kidnapping," Jason offered. "If it was someone after Bruce's money, Damien wouldn't want to give away that he isn't just a regular 13-year-old kid."
"God help the kidnappers,"
Tim muttered, but he continued monitoring their frequencies for any kind of alert from Damien.
"There's been no call for ransom," Alfred said, "but it's early yet." Unfortunately, he'd had experience with kidnappers before.
"What did you tell the school, Alfred?" Dick asked.
"I explained that you had picked him up. I figured it was best not to involve anyone else, if at all possible. If it's related to the other incidents you boys have been through, then it's best to keep to ourselves."
"If once is an incident, twice is a coincidence, and 3 times is a pattern, what's 4? Tim asked.
"A mistake," Jason said between clenched teeth. "A big mistake."
He was pacing, and he looked like he was itching for a fight.
The others gave him some space.
"Where's Bruce?" Tim asked. "Shouldn't he be here?"
"He's off-world with the Justice League. I'll contact him if necessary, but if there's something we can do to find Master Damien in the meantime..."
"We'll find him, Alfred." Dick was full of reassurance. "He'll be fine."
"I'm going out for a smoke,"
Jason said abruptly, turning on his heel and disappearing into the dark. Dick shook his head as he heard Jason's bike start up. Tim glanced up.
"Do you want me to stop him?"
His hand hovered over the controls to the cave exits.
"No, let him go cool off. Just tell him to be smart."
"Jason,"
Tim topped the comm.
"Dick says not to do anything monumentally stupid while you're out there."
"Tim, that's what you meant."
"I'll try,"
Jason said dryly.
"I'll stay on the comms. Tell Mother Hen not to worry."
Easier said than done, Dick said, mostly to himself, as Alfred put a hand on his shoulder. Yes, son, it is. Jason cruised the outskirts of Gotham, trying to come up with a plan. There'd been too much chatter at the cave, too much talk and not enough action, and it had been starting to make him twitch. He pulled over near the river and watched the inky water flow, the lights of Gotham reflected in its dark surface. He pulled out a cigarette and lit up, inhaling shakily on that first drag before he puffed at a cloud of smoke. Staying with Dick had been, well, good for him might be too strong a word, but he had certainly been smoking a lot less. And drinking less. Probably sleeping more. And they'd managed to pull together some half-decent meals between the two of them. Fuck. Jason breathed out. Grayson's insidious. Dick was kind of like a cheerful virus. You didn't notice him at first because he was all pleasant and non-intrusive. And then, without even knowing how you got there, you were practically living with the guy. Jason remembered his plans to move out had gone by the wayside pretty easily. He'd had more hugs in the last few months than he'd probably had in his entire lifetime. And the thing was, he didn't even really mind. In fact, he was even starting to believe Dick's rhetoric about Jason being part of the family no matter what. And that was very dangerous. Now he was all twisted up inside because the mouthy demon brat was missing. He shouldn't care. What was the kid to him except a teenage nuisance? A nuisance that had stood up to Batman for him. But still, he was a bratty little brother who liked prissy bottled water and always fucked with his stereo settings, took control of the remote and demanded pancakes. Jesus Christ, Jason was screwed. Someone had taken his little brother, and there was going to be hell to pay. What's Damien afraid of? Jason asked when he got back to the cave. Not enough, unfortunately, Dick said, handing Jason a sandwich from the tray Alfred had brought down. Girls, Tim offered, around a bite of sandwich. Social interactions? Oh, come on. Someone's got to try to maintain the Robin sense of humor in a crisis. You two are failing miserably. Dick glanced at Jason. What are you thinking? On some level, each of the incidents has been about what we're afraid of. Let's assume this isn't a kidnapping. What's Damien afraid of? What would someone do to scare that kid? Scarecrow's in Arkham, Tim said. GCPD put him away 2 weeks ago. I was never certain it was Scarecrow, Dick said. Fear gas was only actually used once, and it's not that hard to get. The common factor, though, is fear. Each of us was put in a situation that caused us to experience our worst fears. And each of us was drugged, Jason said. So it's someone who's familiar with and has access to some very tricky toxins. That neurotoxin they used on Tim's victims is not easy to come by. And you can easily kill someone if it's not administered correctly. It goes for big bucks on the black market. And even then, you've got to know who to go to. What about all the ninjas? Tim asked. Dick laughed. They're about a dime a dozen these days. Dress someone in black, give them a few martial arts, kicks and a sword, and they're a ninja. But real ninjas aren't so easy to come by, Jason pointed out. Those guys Tim fought sounded like the real deal. He looked at Tim for confirmation. Tim nodded. Dick shrugged. I never saw them. Someone had cleared everyone out by the time I got there. Jason narrowed his eyes.
So, in about 10 minutes between when I left and you got there, someone snuck in and moved two unconscious grown men without you, me, or Tim seeing or hearing anything. They had to have been watching us the whole time, and yet all three of us missed it. I was concussed and drugged, Tim said in his defense. And when they hit Dick, Jason continued, I was maybe 15 feet away and I didn't see anyone except our guys. Dick? Dick shook his head. Not a thing. Even after the blow dart, I didn't see anyone move. So, real ninjas? Tim asked. Definitely narrows down the players. Back to the point, Jason said. What's Damien more afraid of than anything else? Losing Robin, Tim said knowingly. I know he acts like nothing really matters to him, but being Robin does. The few times that Dick or Bruce have grounded him, he hasn't reacted well.
That's an understatement, Dick murmured.
But we were all like that at some point, Tim reminded them. He glanced at Jason. We've all had to come to terms with not being Robin anymore, being something else. But for Damien, this is it. He doesn't see that there could be something else for him. Not yet. So who's capable of taking Robin away from Damien? Jason said, then followed the thought to its logical conclusion. He could see Dick was only a second behind him. No, Dick said, shaking his head vehemently. No way, he wouldn't do that. Who wouldn't do what? Tim piped up, confused. The gauntlet, Dick? All the other times he's tested us to see if we were good enough? What if it's just one more test? What if that's all it's been? One great big test for all of us. Dick put his hands on Jason's shoulders and faced him. Bruce buried you once, and it almost destroyed him. There is no way I will believe he would do that to you for any reason on earth. Tim looked horrified. Jeez, Jason, Bruce wouldn't. He couldn't. He wouldn't do that. But Jason's got a point. Whoever is doing this knows us. They know who we are, what we've been through, what we're afraid of. Look, I still think someone may be doing this because of me, Jason stated. He couldn't shake the feeling that it had more to do with him than the others.
Wow, way to have an ego the size of Mogo,
Tim replied. It's really not all about you, Jason. Dick looked thoughtful. What if it is?
Pardon?
Jason was the first victim. If someone was coming after Robbins, wouldn't it make sense to go in some kind of order?
Too predictable, Tim said. What if it was just ease of access? Jason's the easiest to get to because he's alone the most.
Jason shrugged. It made a sort of sense. And why is Jason alone the most? Because he's anti-family? Because he's a lone wolf who doesn't need a pack? Tim offered.
I'm right here, Jason said, rolling his eyes. And besides, since this started, I've been hip deep in family. I'm basically living with...
Son of a bitch. Dick nodded.
We've been looking at this all wrong. We've been asking the wrong questions. It's not about hurting us. None of us have really been hurt.
Tim scowled and pointed to his head. Dick ignored him.
It's about bringing us together. To see if we'll work together, fight together, protect one another.
It's a test, all right, but it's not Bruce's test. If Batman's the only person who can take Robin away from Damien... Who's the only person who can take Damien away from Batman?
Someone who also happens to have an extensive knowledge of poisons and a whole league of assassins at her command, Tim added. Talia, Jason said, the pieces finally snapping into place.
Damien's mother.
When the kidnappers called, Jason had a hard time not ripping the phone out of Dick's hand and confronting Talia right there on the spot. Of course, it wasn't necessarily her making the call. It was someone using voice distortion tech to deliver a message. If they wanted to see Damien alive again, the three former Robins would come to a warehouse on the docks and retrieve him. The ransom demand was a mere $100,000.
You believe Ms. Al Ghul kidnapped her own son?
Alfred asked.
It would explain a lot of things, Dick said. Damien definitely would have gone with her without much persuasion.
Yeah, she hasn't tried killing him or Bruce in quite a while,
Jason said.
He wasn't feeling particularly generous towards Talia at the moment. She'd put him in a coffin. She'd shot Dick up with fear gas. She'd made Tim think he'd killed someone. Even if she hadn't done any of those things herself, she'd certainly masterminded the whole thing. I don't think she'd hurt Damien at this point. She could have hurt any of us, badly, and she didn't. I don't think that's her endgame.
Then what is?
She wants to know her son's going to be protected, Dick said. So, we go rescue him.
I really don't like the part where we knowingly walk into a trap,
Jason said, and Tim agreed.
We're letting her control the game.
Not entirely, Dick said. We know she's not going to hurt Damien.
Probably,
Jason corrected.
She had no problem putting me in a freaking coffin, and she knew what I went through. She knew what it...
Dick raised an eyebrow, but Jason didn't say anything further. That was a story for another day.
I'm not saying we take any chances. I just don't think the danger factor is as high as it might otherwise be. Besides,
Dick slung an arm around Jason's shoulders.
We were always going to have to rescue him. That doesn't change, even if we know who's behind it. It's not about the money, or they wouldn't be asking the three of us to deliver it.
Are we really taking $100,000 with us?
Tim asked.
I don't know about you guys, but I've got a couple of $1,000. It's accessible quickly.
I can cover it, Tim said, and Jason nodded.
Me too.
Tim turned to look at him.
Drug money? We're not using drug money.
It's clean, Jason said with a smirk. Freshly laundered, even.
No, Dick said, shaking his head.
We've got one mission. Get Damien back.
Damien was in a windowless room with a bank of security cameras. So far, nothing of interest was happening on any of them.
Mother, he said to the empty room. Did you bring me here just to bore me to death?
No, my son, but practicing the virtue of patience would not go amiss right now.
What are we waiting for?
For your rescue.
Damien rolled his eyes.
What are you up to, Mother?
I'm ensuring my son is well taken care of by those he relies on the most. Do you really think Father won't come for me?
Your father is off-world.
Then who? Grayson is coming.
And if he were to fall in the effort,
who would come for you?
Damien thought.
Drake, I suppose. Or Todd.
Are you certain? Do you trust them? Damien considered the question carefully.
He and Drake had their share of disagreements, but now that Tim had taken on the mantle of Red Robin, he was
easier to deal with. Todd was angry a lot of the time and smoked too much, but he had saved Damien's life when the Scarecrow had threatened it, and with terrible consequences for himself. Did he trust them? Yes, Damien said. We shall see if your trust is misplaced or not, said his mother.
We're not seriously going to walk through the front door, are we?
Jason asked, two rooftops away from the warehouse they'd been told held Damien.
Have you forgotten the part where this is a trap?
It would be unexpected, Tim said, adjusting his Red Robin uniform. He decided to leave the cape behind.
We're making a lot of assumptions.
Jason tossed his hood from hand to hand.
I'm not feeling real comfortable about this. What if we're wrong? Either way, Damien's in there and we're going to get him out, Dick said.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Fine.
Jason still didn't like the plan, but he didn't have much choice if they wanted Damien back.
As Tim started down to ground level, Dick took a moment to squeeze Jason's shoulder.
It's going to be okay, little wing. I hope you're right,
Jason returned, and followed Dick over the side of the building. They walked in the front door, and the first thing they saw was a trapeze set up just as it would have been in a circus tent. There were two tall ladders with small platforms, and the short horizontal bars hung from ropes.
Anyone else got a bad feeling about this? Jason asked.
We don't even have to climb it, Tim said, pointing to the open space ahead of them.
We can walk.
He was interrupted when the floor in front of them fell away suddenly to reveal a gaping pit. It was pitch black, and there was no way to tell how deep it was or what lay at the bottom.
You were saying?
Dick started to climb the ladder closest to them, Jason and Tim following behind.
Somebody has been busy,
Jason said, looking down into the blackness below.
What are the chances there's a net down there instead of a floor full of spikes?
Let's not find out, Dick said. When he got to the top, he checked the trapeze and the ropes holding it, taking his time to make sure it was safe.
There's nothing obvious, so let's assume we're supposed to get across. It's a standard flying trapeze. I'll go across to the other bar, and I'll catch.
Tim snickered, and both Jason and Dick glared at him.
So not the time, Tim, Jason said, cuffing him slightly on the side of the head. Pay attention, because you're gonna have to do this first.
Why me?
You're the lightest,
Jason said sensibly, and Dick nodded in agreement.
If everything works the way it's supposed to, then I'll take Jason.
Dick took hold of the trapeze and stepped off the platform. It was a little like watching a bird in flight, the easy way Dick moved through the air as if he was born to it. He kicked his legs to build momentum, swung back to the platform, and then let go on the forward swing, only to easily catch the second bar and gracefully land on the second platform.
Everything feels secure,
Dick called, checking the anchor ropes for the second trapeze. He sat on the bar this time and propelled it like a swing, back and forth until he had a decent arc. Then he got the bar with his knees and hung upside down, arms stretched out and ready to catch.
Okay, Tim, Dick said. Do exactly what I tell you.
Jason watched as Tim repeated what Dick had done the first time, except on the second swing out, Dick yelled,
"Release!"
and Tim let go of the bar. He kept his posture the same, with his arms outstretched, and a half a second later, Dick was holding on to him and gently swinging Tim onto the second platform. Jason let out a breath. It was one thing to rely on a grappling hook and line to keep you in the air, and quite another to have to count on someone to catch you. Okay, Jason, you're up.
You realize I weigh twice what Tim does, right, circus freak?
Dick laughed, even as he swung back and forth upside down.
No, I didn't realize you were 300 pounds. I'll adjust my grip accordingly. Seriously,
Jason said, stepping to the edge of the platform, more than a little apprehensive.
You've got this, right?
I've got this. Flying Grayson here. Just do what Tim did. When I tell you to release, let go and keep your arms extended. I'll catch you.
You sure?
Sometimes you have to make a leap of faith, Jaybird. I'll catch you.
I trust you, Jason said, realizing it was true, and tightened his grip on the trapeze bar. Okay, Flying Grayson, get ready to amaze.
Go, Dick said, and Jason let trust carry him forward.
I wasn't aware the circus was in town, Damien said,
trying to seem as if he didn't care as he watched first Tim and then Jason be skillfully transported from one side of the warehouse to the other by Dick. Watch.
Damien glanced at the screen and saw Dick's trapeze suddenly come away from the ceiling.
Jason obviously saw it happen about the same time and helplessly reached out even as Dick was falling, the word "No!" echoing sharply in the chamber. Dick managed, barely, to shoot his grapple line into the wooden platform and swung awkwardly onto the ladder about halfway up, hitting the wooden structure hard enough to shake it.
Are you hurt? How's your arm? Jason asked.
Wrenched, Dick replied, rolling his shoulders as if to shake off the pain.
Nothing I can't deal with.
He began to climb to the platform where Jason and Tim waited.
Are you still sure she doesn't want to hurt us?
Jason asked, offering him a hand up, and Dick gave him a grim smile.
Let's keep going.
Gee, I can't wait to see what's up next, Jason muttered. At least if it's in my skill set, I should be able to shoot something or jack a car.
If it's Timmy's, well, we can watch him debug code. That's always exciting.
Shut up, Tim said, and gave Jason a friendly shove.
Geek.
Damien watched as his three adopted brothers made their way from the platform and into the next section of the warehouse. Jason felt as if the walls were closing in on him. The hallway they were in narrowed, and the ceiling sloped until Jason was forced to get down on his knees and crawl.
Are you okay?
Tim asked from behind Jason. And Jason just gritted his teeth and said,
uh-huh.
The truth was, he wasn't doing okay. He'd never been bothered by tight spaces when he was a kid, but somehow being buried alive had made him a little on the claustrophobic side. What had started as a hallway was now more like an air duct than anything else, and Jason tried to concentrate on his breathing and watching how Dick moved through the space ahead of him. He wasn't as slim as Dick, but he was pretty flexible for a tall guy, and he found if he paid attention to how Dick maneuvered, he could usually get through with a minimum amount of squeezing. Dick stopped suddenly, and Jason was forced to halt as well.
What's up?
Dick paused, and Jason knew whatever the news was, it wasn't good.
The tunnel turns a corner and it's pitch black. I can't even tell how long it goes or if it narrows more.
We've got flashlights, Jason said, pulling his penlight out of a jacket pocket. it didn't turn on. He flicked the switch a couple of times and hit it once for good measure. Nothing. Seriously? Could have been some kind of field that drained the batteries when we entered, Tim said, shaking his own penlight. I don't know, but all our flashlights are dead. Cell phone, too. Fuck, Jason swore. This was obviously designed to freak him the fuck out, and if he'd ever felt anything towards Talia, it was gone now. This is what we're going to do, Dick said, taking charge. And Jason pressed himself as close to the metal edge as he could, while Tim carefully crawled ahead of both him and Dick. They were going in order of size, and they were leaving Jason an escape route if he needed one. Jason appreciated the thought, but he knew at this point there was no turning back. He ditched the hood and his leather jacket, and reluctantly left two of his guns behind with their holsters. He needed the maneuverability. Keep your hand on my ankle, Dick instructed. And when I move, you move. You're not going to be alone, okay? Jason swallowed. Just keep talking, he said softly. And Dick did exactly that. He talked about open skies and the ocean and things that were vast. And then he started making shit up, so much so that Jason had to pay close attention to what he was saying. That never happened, Jason said, trying to ease his shoulders through a particularly tight corner. Tim assured him he could make it with room to spare. Did too, Dick said smugly. I still have Killer Croc's broken tooth to prove it. Tim, is he full of shit? I have no idea. I've never heard that story. Then Jason felt arms tugging at him, and he was out, free of the suffocating dense air and the narrow walls that felt entirely too much like things he'd rather not think about. You're clear, Dick said, and the breath he let out sounded as full of relief as Jason's. Dick called him to his feet and gave him a quick hug. Unpleasant, but not life-threatening. Guys? Tim said, sounding stressed. Yeah? I'm pretty sure this is a bomb counting down, and it looks like we've got about 3 minutes to defuse it. Damien turned away from the screens and stared at the camera in the corner of the room. Was it you who put Todd in a coffin? I needed to know what he would do when faced with one of his greatest fears. And did he disappoint you, Mother? Damien scowled. He didn't always like Jason or understand his behavior, but no one deserved to go through that experience a second time. Disappoint? No. Surprise? Yes. Of all the people he could have reached out to, he chose Dick Grayson. The two of them appeared to have grown surprisingly close in spite of their history. And today, Grayson again gets him through an experience that I would have expected Jason to refuse. You don't think he would make every effort to save me? Even if it meant confronting his own fears? I didn't know for sure. But now I do. Dick, Jason, and Tim stood around the device, talking through the procedures. No tripwires, no trembler. It looks like that blue wire is a decoy. Why don't they ever have a big red button that says off? Jason asked. I had one like that once. You are lying your ass off, Jason said. Although he honestly couldn't tell. Nope, it was one of Joker's. Ah, so what did the big red button do? Tim asked, getting ready to snip the two wires that identified as live. It really turned it off, Dick said, And a bunch of balloons fell from the ceiling. Jason snorted.
Let me guess. Filled with Joker gas?
Yep. Tim, you want to cut those wires already? We're down to 30 seconds. Tim snipped the wires. The timer stopped. As if on cue, all three of them looked up.
No balloons.
Mother, I refuse to participate in this farce any longer. There's no point in this.
Damien watched the monitors.
So far, he'd seen the former Robins cross a pit via trapeze, navigate a claustrophobic tunnel, and disarm a bomb. He'd seen more than enough to know that Dick and the others would keep coming until they found him. He couldn't understand why it wasn't enough for his mother.
Mother, are you listening to me? I demand you put an end to this.
She told him she was trying to protect him. That he couldn't be Robin anymore if she couldn't rely on the people he was forced to turn to for help when Batman was away. Damien hated that she was putting the others through this on account of him. They'd done nothing except try to be brothers to him. And as far as Damien could tell, they were doing a good job. Even Todd. They made him feel accepted.
Mother?
The Robins followed a staircase down to the warehouse floor, where a dozen men and women in black garb waited silently for them. Jason cracked his knuckles and punched a fist into his palm.
This is more like it.
Dick pulled his Escrima sticks from their holders on his back.
Stay close. They're likely going to try to separate us. Tim, you're probably the target.
Tim had his bow staff out and ready as the ninjas began to circle.
Are you saying I'm the weakest link?
Jason started throwing punches as opponents came within range.
No, he's saying you're the smallest and lightest, which makes you easier to grab.
It makes me harder to catch, Tim said, neatly vaulting out of the way of a face-level kick.
Just be careful, Dick said. Both of you. I've got a feeling this party is just getting started.
A dozen more ninjas dropped down from the ceiling and joined the fray, and for a while there was nothing but the sound of flesh on flesh and weapons clashing.
Have you got eyes on Tim?
Dick shouted. He was surrounded, and doing his best to keep Jason in sight.
No, Jason yelled back. Replacement, you there?
Suddenly, the lights went out. And when they came back on, Dick and Jason were standing alone, blinking at the sudden change in conditions. The room was empty.
Shit,
Jason said, looking around. They've got Tim.
Mother! Mother!
Damien shouted, as a handful of the League of Assassins carried him out of the security room he'd been kept in. His hands and feet had been quickly and expertly bound.
This is unacceptable!
A gag was unceremoniously thrust between his teeth. He had no choice but to cooperate, at least for the time being. But the others were there, and they would save him from whatever game his mother was playing. Even if his mother doubted, Damien had no doubts. The Robins would come. Dick and Jason stood, breathing hard, surveying the cavernous room. The ninjas had disappeared as quickly as they had come, and the damage they'd caused had been minimal. Dick was shaking out his already strained shoulder, and Jason had a few new bruises, but nothing more serious than that.
What's the end game? Jason asked. Now she's got both of them.
Dick shook his head.
Another test? Make us choose, maybe? I really don't know.
Jason shrugged.
It's definitely her game. She's not giving us any choice but to play it out.
Maybe we should have done this differently. Maybe...
Jason clapped a hand on Dick's uninjured shoulder.
No time for second guessing. We did everything we could. We surveilled the warehouse. There was literally no way in except the front door.
Suddenly, across the warehouse, a lighted doorway opened.
I guess we're supposed to go that way, Dick said, frustration starting to show.
We've got this, Jason whispered as they started across the floor.
We'll get them back.
Whatever the scenario, I'll take Damie, you get Tim.
Jason shook his head.
No, this has all been a test, and Tully already knows you love that kid. You're not going to let anything happen to him. It's me she's really worried about, so I'll take Damien.
Jason, you don't have anything to prove.
Apparently I do.
They were back in the area with the trapeze. Except this time, there was a catwalk hung between the two platforms.
From the catwalk, two sets of chains hung down, each one dangling a trussed-up robin.
Great, Jason said, as they climbed the ladder to the catwalk. She's decided to do it old school.
Below the two boys were bubbling vats of some kind of clear liquid.
Tim, Damien, you okay?
Dick called, and had to assume the irritated sounds he got in answer were a combination of yes and get us the hell out of here. Everything had been laid out with precision. There was no way to scale the sides of the vats, and they were too wide to jump across without landing in the liquid. The two boys were suspended using one large chain, each of them acting as an anchor for the other. If they pulled up Tim, Damien would sink into the vat below him, and vice versa. The same if they cut or broke the chains. They'd only have time to save one. The area was too vast to attach a zipline anywhere, although they might be able to get a grappling hook into something and swing down.
Looks like we're going to have company, Dick said, pointing to the bottoms of the ladders where a dozen or so ninjas were starting to climb, most with blades clenched between their teeth.
Of course, Jason said, his voice overly loud. She couldn't give us a fucking break while we're trying to rescue her kid from the situation she put him in.
Pissing her off might not be the best way to go, Dick pointed out, watching the progress of the ninjas. We need a plan to grab them both at the same time.
She's made that almost impossible.
Almost, Dick said, grinning. There's a rapid release for the chain in the middle of the catwalk. It'll bring one up close enough to grab, and drop the other into whatever that is in the vats.
One less robin to feed, Jason said. And there were angry noises from the two gagged boys below.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Dick asked.
How about rock, paper, scissors?
Jason started for the opposite ladder, while Dick grabbed his arm. I don't think she wants us dead, but that doesn't mean what's down there is harmless. Don't do anything stupid.
Who, me? Wouldn't dream of it, Big Bird.
Jay, I mean it. We're not losing anybody today.
Jason headed for the side closest to where Damien was hanging. He'd still have to fight his way through a handful of ninjas, but he had the beginnings of a plan forming. It wasn't a great plan, he knew, and might end up with him dead or scarred for life, but there didn't seem to be another way to ensure both kids came out of it unscathed. Someone was going to have to make a leap of faith. And it might as well be him. The chain was starting to move, dropping Damien inch by inch towards the pit.
Guess we weren't moving fast enough for her, Jason shouted, kicking a ninja off the ladder. He needed to get a grapple line secured to the platform, and his timing was going to have to be perfect. We need a plan, now!
You know, if Bats were here, this is about the time he'd break through a previously unseen skylight, glide down grabbing both Robins in a rapid succession, and manage to down all the ninjas with a concussive batarang.
Everyone in the room glanced at the ceiling.
We can do one of those,
Dick said, pulling out a batarang and aiming at the throng of ninjas that was threatening to swarm the catwalk.
Do it,
Jason said. His grapple was secure, and as he forced another ninja to retreat from his punishing kicks, he did the calculations in his head. It would work, exactly as he expected. The concussive batarang went off with a bang, and ninjas toppled over the catwalk above.
Hit the release,
Jason shouted, and Dick dived for it, but didn't hit it. In an instant, he took in Jason's position on the ladder, the grapple, and the relative positions of the boys in the vats. Jason could tell Dick had come to the same conclusion he had.
You won't have enough momentum. Hit the release now,
Jason said, looking right at Dick. They didn't have time to argue, and they both knew it.
Damn it,
Dick swore, and hit the button. Talia watched from the darkness. She knew her measures were extreme, but they were necessary. These men were trusted by her son, and although Dick Grayson had proved himself to be a more than adequate guardian for Damien, she didn't know enough about Tim Drake. She sensed he was more like Bruce than the others from everything she'd seen. Jason, she did know, and that was why she worried. He had shot her child once before, when he'd been out of his mind seeking revenge. She knew what he was capable of, and how easy to manipulate he could be. His mind was a minefield, and she knew exactly where to push to do the greatest amount of damage. She'd had time to learn him and to mold him after the Lazarus Pit. She'd had time to understand what sort of creature was Jason Todd, and she'd come to a clear conclusion. He was a killer with a strong sense of self-preservation. She was certain if it came to the choice between himself and someone else, he would choose life. He'd fought for it hard enough, after all. And now, with her son's life hanging in the balance, she had to know if Jason had changed from the angry, revenge-driven young man she'd helped create. If it was possible for him to care enough about someone as difficult as Damien, and to sacrifice himself to save him. She had to know, no matter what the consequences. Dick hit the button, and several things happened at once. The chain brought Tim rapidly to the edge of the catwalk. Dick reached out and dragged him up, intent on releasing him from the chain as quickly as possible in case something went wrong. Damien began to fall toward the bubbling vat as Jason pushed away from the ladder, D-cell line unwinding as he swung into the space over the vat. Seconds before Damien would have hit the liquid, Jason plowed into him, letting go of the line, and hitting Damien with all his weight and strength, pushing the kid as far away from the liquid as he could get him. Damien and the entirety of the chain sailed harmlessly over the side of the vat and crashed to the floor. It was a hard landing, Jason knew, but easily survivable, and infinitely better than what waited below. Jason wished he still had his hood with him. At least it would have afforded him some protection for his face, his eyes. He hoped to God it wasn't acid. He didn't want to turn out like the Joker. His momentum slowed by colliding with Damien. Jason didn't have the speed to propel himself over the edge. He dropped into the cold, clear liquid. The last thing he heard before he submerged was Dick's frantic voice shouting his name. Dick watched the scene unfold as if in slow motion, and still, there was nothing he could do. He had pulled Tim free of the chain as Jason knocked Damien out of the way of the bubbling liquid and plunged into the vat. Jason! Dick charged across the catwalk, slid 3/4 of the way down the ladder, and leapt the last 10 feet to the floor. Tim was right behind him. Check on Damien, Dick ordered, as he looked for a way up the side of the vat. He was about to call Tim back and get him to stand on Dick's shoulders, when two arms and a face popped up at the edge of the vat, swung a leg over, and made a wet splat on the floor. Jason, Dick said, running to him, terrified of what shape he would be in. Are you okay? Jason shook himself like a wet dog, sprinkling Dick in the process. He spat out a mouthful of liquid. Apparently I am, Jason said, standing up and checking himself over. He looked fine, and Dick reached out, finding it hard to believe there'd been no damage from the bubbling liquid. I think it's that prissy carbonated water the kid drinks. It's not even hot. Don't ever do that again, Dick said, hugging Jason tightly. You had no idea. It could have been acid. Sometimes you have to take a leap of faith, right? And she didn't leave us much choice. Damien and Tim appeared then, Tim supporting Damien. Jason winced. Sorry about the rough treatment, kid. Busted ankle? Just sprained, I think, Tim answered for him. Damien's face was dark. I must apologize for Mother's behavior. She should not have involved you. It's not your fault, baby bird, Jason said, reaching out to give Damien's shoulder a squeeze. We don't get to pick our parents. Yours are just a little more messed up than most. Luckily, your brothers are awesome. Can we get out of here? Tim asked, looking around suspiciously. Absolutely, Dick said, and took Damien's other side. Between the two of them, they helped him hobble his way to the front of the warehouse, where Alfred was waiting to pick up the four of them. Alfred? Tim said, surprised. Ms. Al Ghul called and informed me a pickup was in order. I'm here to take you home. Home, Jason breathed out. Nothing had sounded better to him in a long time. Two weeks later, and Dick was helping him move into a new apartment. It was a lot closer to Dick's place than Jason's last apartment had been, but he was okay with that. He was going to make an effort not to freak out and distance himself from everyone who cared about him. And everyone he cared about, too. Can I have your stereo? Damien asked, pushing buttons at random. He wasn't being a lot of help with the move, but Jason didn't really mind. Dick and Tim were happily organizing shit in his kitchen, and Jason was eager to leave them to it. No, Jason said. I'm moving. I'm not dead. The coffin in the living room might suggest otherwise, Damien said. You still can have my stereo squirt. After the move was finished, they christened the new place with a movie night sleepover. Jason had gotten a 2-bedroom place this time, with a Murphy bed. The accommodations were nothing like Dick's monstrous bed, but Jason wasn't quite ready for an open invitation to be beset with robins anytime they felt like it. This family thing was still tenuous for him in some ways, and he needed to go slow. He needed to be able to set some boundaries. It's great, Dick said, hugging him for probably the 3rd time that morning. and Jason sighed, because clearly Dick thought he had to get in as many hugs as he could in case Jason dropped off the radar again. "I'm not going anywhere," Jason said, addressing all of his siblings. "I know I'm prone to fucking things up, but I trust you'll tell me when I'm doing that. I can't promise it's going to be easy, but I'm trying, okay?"
"Okay," Tim said. "Can we order pizza?"
Sure, Jason said, taken aback.
"You heard what I said, right?"
"We got it. I want olives on mine," Damien stated.
"No mushrooms," Tim reminded.
Dick already had the phone out and was calling in their regular order. Jason stood in the center of the room and laughed.
"I think we broke Jason," Tim said.
Dick shoved his phone back in his pocket and threw a friendly arm around Jason's still shaking shoulders.
"His life was ridiculous."
"Nah, he's not that easy to break. He's a Robin." Oracle installed the new security system for Jason, and she did it herself, which was proof she was still pissed off someone had gotten through her failsafes. When it was done, she tested everything thoroughly and walked him through the whole system and how everything connected.
"Thanks, Barbara," Jason said sincerely. He hadn't expected her to come by his place and do it herself. He'd figured she'd have some sort of tech minion come do her bidding.
She turned her chair away from the door and took a deep breath. "I think I owe you an apology," she said. Jason shrugged.
"No, I get it. You're protective. It's not a bad thing."
"Maybe not, but I realize you've changed a lot since you've been back. Dick told me what you did for Damien."
Jason flushed.
"Does everybody know? Little brother redeems himself. Details at 11. "He is proud of you, and I think he has every right to be."
"Are you still in love with him?"
"No." Barbara sounded wistful, but firm. "But I'll always love him. It's kind of hard not to." Jason nodded without meaning to.
"Yeah. Dick Grayson was definitely a phenomenon. With him in your corner, it really felt like you could take on the world and win."
"I'm not going to hurt him. Or any of them. Not on purpose."
"I know that now."
Barbara turned toward the door.
"You sure you don't want those extra cameras?"
"Go away, Spy Girl," Jason said, holding the door open for her.
"Some things are meant to be private."
"I'll be watching you," she said with a laugh, as she wheeled her way toward the elevator.
"I know you think that's reassuring, but really, kinda creepy, Babs."
Jason closed the door, Barbara's laughter making him smile as he looked around his newly secured apartment. Talia stepped onto the balcony of her hotel room. The moon was full, and the Gotham night was humid.
"Hello, beloved."
"Talia.
Are you here to chastise me for ensuring our son is taken care of?"
"You put Jason in a coffin, Talia."
Batman's voice was gritty and emotional. Maybe no one else would notice, but she knew him better than most. He was never in any danger.
"That's not the point."
"What is the point, beloved?"
Batman loomed closer, taking up most of the space on the small balcony and blocking the moon. It was a magnificent display of intimidation. If Talia were the kind of person that worked on, she might have been a little bit impressed. Instead, she found it rather endearing.
Leave my children alone.
Damien is mine.
Damien is one child. There are three others you have no claim to. Stay away from them, Talia. I mean it.
Batman growled. What's brought on this protective streak? Talia stepped closer into the darkness that surrounded him. Is it because Jason risked sacrificing himself to save our son? Did he surprise you?
He wanted to test his loyalty, his character. I think you've shown you know who he is, and that's not the person you made him when you sent him here for revenge.
Talia shrugged. Things change. Priorities change. Jason was only ever a means to an end. I wanted revenge, and so did he. For a while, our goals were aligned.
And now?
I've learned what I needed to know. He will protect my son, even if it costs his life, as he would protect the others. He has made his choice.
Jason's my son, Talia, and he's finally on the road home. He deserves the chance to have a family. And if you come near him again...
You have my word, beloved. I have my answers. When Jason arrived home from his run, there was an envelope taped to his door. It appeared to have a flash drive in it. Great. He really didn't want to have to move again when he'd just gotten settled in. He couldn't wait to see what villain had found him already. He booted up his laptop and shoved the flash drive into place. It was an audio file. He turned up the sound and hit play.
Hello, beloved. Talia.
He listened to the file without interruption. And when it was done, he labeled it Redemption and tossed it in his desk. Maybe there would come a time when he would need to listen to it again, to remind himself who he was to Batman, to remind himself what wrongs Talia had done to them collectively. But today, he was meeting Dick and the Robins for Ultimate Frisbee and ice cream. Today he didn't have time for the past and all the old regrets. Today, Jason Todd was home. The end.
Author's notes. The story takes place in a fuzzy timeline where Damien isn't dead, Dick isn't with Spiral, and before Red Hood and the Outlaws. Backstories are drawn from all over the darn place. It's a sort of sequel to Bird by Bird and the second story in the Robins United series. This is Lacey McBain, thanking you for listening, and a huge thank you to Rena Jenkins for recording this podfic.
Reader's Notes. I'm so glad that I got to do this with Lacey McBain this year. Actually, I had just finished recording and posting Bird by Bird when the Pod Together announcements were going around for signups, and I kind of didn't give Lacey McBain a lot of time to say no or yes. I think the theme for this year's Pod Together was me coercing people into doing things with me. If I was still in high school, this would be a problem for peer pressure. Anyway, I'm really glad that I got to help bring this story to life. I love these boys and found family and making your family work even when the people in it are being difficult. And
Ugh, stab me in the heart, why don't you? It's just so good for me. And then also, that bit about how Jason's aware that he wears a mask under his mask and that maybe he has a problem, but that's not important right now. I think that might be my most favorite line of this entire story. Either that or the bit where Tim's like, if there wasn't anything on Twitter, he would put it there. Because Dick and Jason and Tim being a little troublemaker shit. So yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming along for this ride. Thank you to Lacey McBain for being so awesome about giving me like podcast feedback notes and writing this story that just stabbed me in the heart in all the best ways. And I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Have a nice day.
Believe that you're all that you said you would be if I keep